Well, thank you for the opportunity to be with you today. I have been told by Ken and Val, or possibly my wife Christine, that apparently some of you didn't believe I existed. You met Christine, you met one or other of my sons, though maybe not all of them ever together, which is suspicious, isn't it? But I'd never turned up. So just to prove I exist, here I am. Christine and I actually, on the first weekend we were married, if I remember correctly, actually came to Southport to the church here, but you had the other building then. We had come away on honeymoon, and one of our places we went to was in Southport. So I was here once before, but I don't know how many of you remember from those days long ago. Now, this morning and this evening, what I want to do is I want to talk about some things from Matthew chapter 11. In both sermons, what I'm going to do is dip into the chapter. I'm not going to cover all the detail. I want to pick out a couple of threads, which I hope will help you. I did give titles to the sermons. I'm trying to remember what they are at the moment. I think this morning is the place we need. I think this afternoon is the person we need. Good. That's a relief. For this morning, let's start with a question. Question to ask yourself, which is, do you like stress? The man at the front does. Stress can be useful. Yeah, it's a call to action. It's the body gearing up to respond to a situation. But often it can be bad, and that's maybe typically our experience of it. When stress hits us, our heart starts beating like it feels too fast, coming out of the chest, stomach starts turning, and we don't know where it's going to go. Our mind maybe goes into overdrive. We're under stress, we can't stop thinking of things. Maybe you've had this in the past week. If so, what, being different in your little world, would have reduced that stress? What would have brought it down? We often feel that if we could adjust the parameters of life, it would do that. It would improve it. It would reduce the stress. We say to ourselves, you know, if I could just get our home life right, if I could sort that out, if I could fix, you know, some of those issues in the house or in the home, that would reduce my stress. Or health, if I could get my health right, if finally I could get the treatment I need, if at last I could have that resolved, that would reduce my stress. Or money, if I could look once a month at my bank account and find that it wasn't edging close to the overdraft, but instead was way above, that would reduce my stress, that would be okay. Or my work, if I just had a slightly different job, or the job I've got changed, or the boss I've got changed, then that would reduce my stress. Or my marriage, or my family, or... We think of life as like a sort of machine with a series of dials on the front, or buttons, and somehow if you can tweak the settings, if you can make the adjustments, stress will reduce, life will be simpler, life would be calmer, life would be nicer. Does it work? No, thank you. Hey, interactive congregation. Excellent. I'm from London. We're sort of more like that. It doesn't. You make one change, life improves, and then bang, you get hit from a different direction. It's really irritating, isn't it? And Jesus would point this out in the stories he told. You know his story of the successful businessman. You know, he does really well, gets this big pension pot set up, he's going to retire early, and then drops dead. Instead of going from stress to rest, he goes from stress to death. So what is the answer? Now, in Matthew 11, what I want to show you is that part of the answer to this whole way of the way we look at life, the way we think about life, is to understand the kingdom of heaven. But what is that? I mean, I can say words like that, can't I? And maybe you could nod because you feel, well, when preachers say words like that, I should make out that I know what he's going on about. But what does it actually mean? Kingdom of heaven. I hope that what we're going to do this morning is just work our way a little towards seeing what is meant and how it speaks to us. Now, let's just sort of paint in what's going on. Matthew 11. In verse 1, we get this. Now, it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. Verse 1 opens. Jesus is on a preaching tour. But on this preaching tour, he gets a message from another preacher. Verse 2, when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one? Or do we look for another?" John the Baptist is stressed. Why? Because Jesus is not doing what John thought Jesus ought to be doing at this moment. John, as a preacher, maybe you know for yourself, maybe you've read Matthew earlier on, chapter 3 and things like that. John, as a preacher, had been telling people that Jesus was coming. And he was coming with the power of God. And he was going to sort them out. And it was going to be fiery. They better return to God's way, or they were going to be lost. John used the image of chaff being burned. It was powerful preaching. Caused a lot of agitation. Jesus hints at that in verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. There have been lots of agitation caused in that society. But now John's confused. He had preached about Jesus, but Jesus is not living it out. And he wants to know what's happening. To him, Jesus seems a bit of a letdown. Are you the coming one? Do we look for another? Now, Jesus replies. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, etc." Jesus sends back a message. It's okay, John. Calm down. The power of God is at work within me. I'm fulfilling all the Old Testament promises, John. His words there are echoing Isaiah's book. Trust me, says Jesus. Notice that Jesus isn't hard on John. I'm going to think a little bit about that actually this evening. And as he says of John in verse 7, you know, John is a good guy. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitude concerning John, "What did you go out to see?" He says, "You didn't go out to see a wimp, did you? But an unyielding preacher. You didn't go out to see a politician in a smart suit, soft clothing, but a driven prophet. John spoke for God," says Jesus. "Behold, I send my messenger." He stands tall in his job. But he's missed the key point. And Jesus emphasizes it in verse 11. He says, "Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." God sent John to get people ready for the kingdom of heaven. But to take his own place, John needs to learn something extra. Until then, the least citizen is in a better position, says Jesus. Now, that's just painting in the situation. Let's come back to this phrase now then. Kingdom of heaven. What is Jesus meaning? Why? How can it be that somebody in the kingdom of heaven, the least person of it, is greater than John the Baptist? What is it that John's not getting? Kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven's an unusual phrase. Matthew likes it, uses it a lot. The other gospels don't use it so much, or hardly at all, I think, actually. They tend to talk about the kingdom of God. So what does it mean? Kingdom of heaven. Let's try and explain it. Start with our world, okay? Start with what you know. Let's work to what you may not know. Our world is full of kingdoms, isn't it? You know what I mean by kingdom? A kingdom is a community of people at some level. We've got kingdoms which are nations, or more than one nation, the United Kingdom, of which you're a part. But kingdoms can be other things. It might be a tribe in some areas, a particular community of people that forms a tribe. It might be a gang. I think when you get those in Southport, certainly get them in London, they have their little kingdoms, normally defined by probably a postcode. You get kingdoms here on the earth, communities of people bound together. And they're bound together by a pattern of life. There's a particular way of living they all have, a lifestyle that they go together with. Standards that they live by, certain rules which apply, how they ought to behave within the community. They often have a ruler who is over them. We have that in the United Kingdom, don't we? We have our level of lifestyle, we have our standards, rules, laws, we have our rulers. We have our kingdom. But there are all sorts of kingdoms, as I say. National kingdoms, international kingdoms, local kingdoms. But we could call them all the kingdoms of the earth. They come in all shapes, all sizes, varied cultures, varied languages. They are the kingdoms of this earth. And they all have common features, don't they? Because they're all made up of human beings. They have to handle who we are. You know, one of the things that's common to all the kingdoms of the earth is this. They have to deal with our troublesome traits. You know what I mean by our troublesome traits, don't you? We're violent. We lash out. So every community at some level has to handle that in some way. It has to decide how it's going to deal with what level of violence it can cope with. We lie in all sorts of situations. And every kingdom of the earth has to cope with that at some level, has to decide what lies you can get away with, what lies it will deal with. We're unreliable. We're unfaithful. We make promises, we don't keep them. And every kingdom of the earth has to handle that in some way. So, for example, you take somebody on in this country, let's say, to be your plumber for the week, and maybe you get him to sign a contract, because you can't be actually sure he'll do everything he says he's going to do. So you set up a contract. That's how the kingdoms of the earth work. We're constantly managing human behaviour within them. We have to deal with the fact that we steal. Just look at the insurance system. You have to deal with the fact that we have lust, sexual desire. You have to deal with the fact that we're greedy. You have to deal with the fact we're vengeful, want to get our own back. You have to deal with the fact that we're prone to jealousy, looking at others, wanting what they've got. And so on and so on. And so every kingdom of the earth, whether it's a local gang, whether it's a local council, whether it's an international body or a national government, every kingdom of the earth has to handle us. So you have the laws, you have the rules, you have the punishments. You restrain some desires and you let other desires go. This violence isn't acceptable, but we can put up with that. This sexual behaviour isn't acceptable, but we can put up with that. And that's how the kingdoms of the earth work. Each is constantly just juggling around to find its own balance, to control the people who make up its community. Now, have you got in your head, I hope, through my description, what a kingdom is? A kingdom as you've experienced it in your life. Local level, national level, whatever. It's about a community of people who are being managed in some way so that there's some level of peacefulness between them. And then you get Jesus' kingdom. And that's not called the kingdom of the earth, it's called the kingdom of heaven. Because it is different. And you see, it too is a community. It's a community of people who come together under one ruler, under Jesus. But it has a different starting point. It doesn't ask, now how are we going to control these people? How are we going to sort out and get the balance between them all and keep them? It asks a different question. The kingdom of heaven simply says, right, here we have a community of people. What does God want? See, that's what the kingdom of heaven is. It's a kingdom with a lifestyle suited to God's home. I mean, yeah, the clue's in the name, kingdom of heaven. Clever that, isn't it? If you travel to a different country, you have to be sensitive to their ways, don't you? Jesus comes to us and says, right, my kingdom, we're sensitive to God's ways. That's what I'm building, a community of people sensitive to God's ways. Living out God's ways. The Bible calls this holiness. Another way of describing that is simply to say you become house trained for God's home. That's what it means. See, and that makes the kingdom of heaven a very different type of kingdom. You're no longer just doing what we always do. Fiddling around, balancing the different parameters of life to see if we can get a low stress life. You're starting from a completely different place. And do you know the problem with that? Because there is one. It's just stupid. Because it doesn't work. Yeah, you go through Matthew's gospel and you listen to Jesus describing his kingdom. You hear him talking about what the kingdom of heaven is like, and it just seems hopelessly impossible. You see, kingdoms of the earth are okay. We understand how they work because they work with who we are. They play with our natural traits. What can we get away with in this community? Well, we'll have to let this happen, but we can stamp on that. And we're constantly fiddling with the parameters and the variables. But Jesus' guidelines for the kingdom of heaven keep clashing with who we are. So he comes along and he says, now in my kingdom we shall love our enemies. Oh yeah, that's a really great idea, isn't it? Because it gets you killed. In my kingdom we will not lie. And the immediate human reaction is, one, how am I going to run my business? Two, how am I going to deal with my children? Because we use lies in both of those places all the time. Jesus comes along and says, now, in my kingdom you will give to others sacrificially. And it's like, whoa, I think you meant to say, look after number one first and then see what's left over. When you hear Jesus talking about his kingdom, describing the lifestyle of it, it just seems crazy. It seems impossible. Even if you hear wisdom in Jesus, when you listen to the whole bundle, it does seem like madness. When somebody hits you in the face, turn the other cheek. Oh yeah, that's going to work well. Can't I just belt them and run off instead? You're not going to hold grudges. What? I've been holding one for 20 years. You want me to let that go? I mean, that's just being human. It can't work. Any politician will tell you, this can't work. You can't build a community of people in this way. If you're going to build a kingdom of the earth, you've got to be shrewd, you've got to be cynical, you've got to be compromising, and you've got to be brutal. But you listen to Jesus talk about the kingdom of heaven, and you think he's not playing the game. He just keeps saying, now this is what God wants in the kingdom of heaven. This is what God wants. This is what God wants. And it all seems impossible. A lifestyle that human beings like you and me, ordinary people, cannot reach. Yep. That's right. It is. It really is. The kingdom of heaven really is that different. It is outside of our natural ability. And I suppose you could do one or two things then at that point. And people did do this with Jesus. You can walk. You can say, well, in which case, this isn't worth hanging around for. Because it's just not going to work. Or you keep listening. And you come to realise one clear thing. That if this kingdom's ever going to happen, it has to happen supernaturally. Now that's what John wasn't seeing. He needed to see clearly that Jesus couldn't simply turn up and set up the kingdom of heaven just by saying, everybody, stop living badly and come to God. It had to go beyond John's preaching. Jesus had to provide a way for people to enter such a kingdom, a way for them to be forgiven for all those natural traits we have, and a way to unleash God's power to change lives, to make them new. John had to grasp. It's not enough to point out what's wrong in people and to call people back to God and then to say, or else there's the judgment of fire coming to sort you out. And those who haven't come back will be lost, and those who have will be saved. It's not enough for Jesus just to say that. It's not enough for Jesus just to say, well, John started with this message, we'll just roll it on. Because we can't change ourselves. You know, if Jesus had done just what John had been preaching, precisely to John's timetable, Jesus would have turned up, he'd have brought fiery judgment, and who would have been lost? Everybody. Every single person. So before he brought that judgment, and he will bring it, he discusses it in later verses. I'm not going to read them now, but you can read later verses from verse 20 onwards, and you'll find he'll talk about the judgment he's going to bring. But before he does that, before he destroys evil which must be destroyed, first he needs to provide a way of escape. He's got to go to the cross first. He's got to dive into God's destruction of evil to rescue some out of it. It's how the kingdom of heaven is possible. It's not possible any other way. Because it's not like the kingdoms of the earth. It's different. And John just needed to grasp and see that vital step. Okay. So, I've talked about the kingdom of heaven. I've tried to explain to you something, not everything, but something of the language that's being used here, what Jesus is talking about. Now, let's talk about you. You are a member of kingdoms of the earth, aren't you? Born into them, joined them by choice, moved into them by changing location, whatever it was. You're a member of various communities. You're a member of local communities here. You're a member of the national community of this country. Through that country, you're a member of international communities. And each of those levels is messing about with life, twisting the dials, pressing the buttons, changing the variables, trying to improve it, make it work. Maybe when you voted in the last election, if you did, you thought, well, if I vote for them, at least they'll turn that dial and things will get better. Can we just say that they're all going to fail? Honestly. You know, yep, they'll sometimes improve some stuff and that's good. But every time life gets better over here, it gets worse over there. Because in the end, the kingdoms of the earth will always let you down. Don't you want something better? Do you really just want to stand at the machine of life, hoping if finally you find the right darn button, that if you press it, life goes right at last? You really want that? You think it's going to happen? You think you just missed the button so far? Don't you want something better? Different? Yeah, maybe you've done this on a personal level. In your own little community, one person community or family community, your own little kingdom. And you've been racing around. You have your occasional headless chicken mode. You're going to sort out life. Really successful, wasn't it? Till life kicked you again. Don't you want something better? Living your way, living the natural way, being part of kingdoms and the earth, always in the end, will just bring failure and death. And they'll never rescue you from the fiery judgment of God. only the kingdom of heaven can. And you know, it's that this kingdom is just so good. You know, Jesus, when he talks about it, read Matthew later, you find him talking about it, you find he'll talk about how it brings peace, how it brings stability, how it brings a love that's not seen anywhere else, how it brings life. You know, I mean, look at verse 5 that Ken read to us for a moment. This is the message Jesus sends back to John. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news preached to them. For the most part there, Jesus lists off miracles he does. And each is a sign. And each sign says, imagine a kingdom that repairs you in every way. Yeah, let's be clear. Miracles are only ever signs, aren't they? You know, every person Jesus healed died in the end. So it's only ever temporary. You know, it was pretty lightweight stuff in a sense. But Jesus did each of them to point forward to say, now look, I'll give you a foretaste. Let me show you where my kingdom's going to end up. And one day every person in my kingdom will be free of blindness and illness and poverty and death. It's in the future, it's not yet. It's when he returns, it's when Christians are resurrected. But that's where the kingdom of heaven heads. So which of the kingdoms of the earth is going to give you that? Financial success of the EU? That's going well. National Health Service? Pretty successful. Hey, in the United Kingdom, average age maybe has gone up. You might get to 85. Maybe some of you are over 85. You've gone beyond. It's nothing, is it? It's nothing. But every person who comes to Jesus and joins his kingdom through forgiveness and grace gains future resurrection. Has no more need to panic about the variables of life, hoping to get them in balance because the Creator's going to fix them all. Exactly as they should be. Yeah, and it's not just outer life, is it? Verse 29, we didn't read it, but Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Outer person ultimately made well. Inner person ultimately made well. What else do you want? And which kingdom of the earth is going to give it to you? None. The kingdom of heaven does. It solves life's stresses like nothing else. It has the only real answer. Come into Jesus' kingdom. Look, some people get stuck outside. Maybe you're one of them. Some people get stuck outside like John was at this moment. They see the wrong in the world and they point the finger at it and they never get any further. They don't discover the rescue. You know, there are people, aren't they, who are locked into that mode. Maybe you're one of them. And you hear it in their words. They'll say, now the problem with society is, now the problem with him is, now the problem with her is, now the problem, great, you've noticed the problem, splendid. Can we move on now, actually, to the answer? Or are you just stuck pointing out the problem? Don't stay outside the kingdom, stuck there. Come in and discover how Jesus saves from that. Some people get stuck outside the kingdom because they are slaves to their own expectations. Read verses 16 to 19 later and you'll discover some of these people. People who test everything by what they want. That's just the kingdoms of the earth trying to work out what we are by nature and get life right. It just doesn't satisfy in the end. Please don't get stuck outside the kingdom of heaven. Don't get stuck outside, noticing all that's wrong, but never seeing the answer that Christ gives. Don't get stuck outside the kingdom of heaven, judging everything by what I want. Escape that. You know, standing away from God is our biggest issue. Faith in our own abilities is our stupidest mistake. We need to come to Christ. Over 2,000 years, Jesus has shown his kingdom is best. Just trust him and come into his kingdom. I know, you know, that it won't be perfect till he returns. That's why I'm still wearing glasses and the hair on my head is so ugly. And it's not just the physical, is it? You know and I know that Christ's kingdom will never be perfect till he returns, and that means other Christians. Other Christians are a letdown. You know me for, if you get to know me, you know, just for a couple of weeks, I'll soon let you down. Here we only taste the final outcome of the kingdom of heaven. But in the end, you know, even the taste is better than anything else on offer. I know, you know, you know Christians whose kindness and generosity just overwhelms you. Oh, they've got their faults too, but you see that Jesus has changed them. Here we taste it's good. If we trust in Jesus and we see what he did and we listen to what he said, we will one day know in all its fullness how good it is. Don't stand outside the kingdom of heaven. Come in. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. He has the power of God. He can bless you like nothing and no one else. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.